in a bag, but you throw it in with the cans. Why not?
Galatians 5:13.
Self-control. Against such things there is no law.
at these. So let me ask, how did you sleep last night? There's ever a time that we long for peace and quiet. It is bedtime. But often our sleep gets disrupted. Sirens, perhaps gunshots, might be the loud neighbors, might be a barking dog, it might be a sick child. We live in Maryland, we live behind a convenience store, 24-hour gas station, and sometimes our sleep can be disrupted with the gas pump number, of course, that on at 2 a.m. Which is simply annoying. But that happened. So sometimes our disruption comes from outside. Sometimes, however, our peace is disrupted from within. A troubled conscience. You think about the day. There's something perhaps you did or said that you wish you had not. Maybe something that you left undone that in hindsight you wish you had done. And your troubled conscience might keep you from sleep. And some of us, probably all of us, know that heaviness to some degree. But then it should be quiet. But there's no peace. There might be anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? Maybe you have an unpleasant meeting scheduled. Maybe you have a huge task. Meeting with a boss. You're anxious about tomorrow or next week. Maybe you're going to see a doctor. And anxiety can steal our peace. It could be resentment. Maybe in your hurt conscience, the other side of that is maybe you were hurt. It's not that you left something undone, maybe something was done to you. And you're thinking on that. Perceived wrong.
Going. It's serene, even in the midst of chaos.
wants to be in a context of contention. And it's a quality of the kingdom of God. And yet among sinful people, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a church, a neighborhood, peace is not easy. We want it to be desired, but it's not easy. The Bible has many directives regarding peace. Mark 9, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Romans 12, what I alluded to. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 14, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and building up with one another. End of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And God above and peace shall be with you. Ephesians 4, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, live in peace with one another. 2 Timothy 2, flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call the Lord from a pure heart. Hebrews 12, pursue peace with all men, and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Get the idea that this is an important fruit. Maybe get the idea that not only is it important, it's also delicate. It's easy to disrupt peace. So, the New Testament is full of injunctions to be at peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So why are we in so much turmoil? What disturbs your peace? I've already alluded to some of those things that may disrupt and disturb your peace. And one is envy. That's a deed of the flesh. Selfishness and rivalry. The envy comes from me. I want to be most important. And when I put myself forward, when I insist on my way, and no longer promoting peace, but me. And if somehow I can't have it my way, well, that's not peace, because I want it to be my way. Well, this comes from the flesh. All righteousness of Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 says, you are still of the flesh. But while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And the Corinthians are marked by rivalry. I'm of this school, and I'm of this person, I'm of this person, I'm of this person. They're going to lawsuits with each other. They're going to court against one another. There was no peace. We've already read in James chapter 3 that this disturbance is worldly. It's divine. It's destructive when there is rivalry and jealousy. Take your Bibles and look back in the book of Judges. A clear example of this in Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8 on page 264. I want you to see two comparisons. In Judges 8, beginning at verse 1, the men of Ephraim said to him, that is to Gideon, what is this that you have done to us? Not to call us when you went to fight against Midian. And they accused him fiercely. He said to them, what have I done where their name gets made, and they're left out. And so they come and they accuse Gideon, and they're ready to go to war with Gideon, and Gideon gives them a very gentle answer. Who am I? The gleanings of Egypt, the leftovers, are better than what I am. You're better than me. He knows how to live at peace. Now, turn to Judges chapter 12. Same group. Ephraim's got a problem. Ephraim's got this selfishness. So the men of Ephraim were called to arms. This is Judges 12. They crossed to Zaphon and said, Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? Same thing. They get left out of the battle. They are not happy. Somebody else is getting the credit. We will burn your house over you with fire. Jephthah is not of the spirit of Gideon. Jephthah said that I and my people, I gave this to the Ammonites, and I told you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you could not save them, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave it into my hand. Why then do you come up to me this day to fight against me? And if you keep reading, I'm not reading the rest of the narrative, they go to war. And Ephraim is defeated, and they lose 42,000 men. That's what rivalry and selfish ambition can do. Bruce Gowers alludes to it. There's no peace in the world. Why? Because of rivalry and selfish ambition. And so many families and churches don't know peace. Why? Because of rivalry and selfish ambition and envy. If there is any peace, that has to die. But there can be no peace because of anxiety. Where there is insecurity, there is no peace. When I feel out of control, and I mean I can't control the circumstances, when there is uncertainty, there's no longer peace, but fear. Don't know what's going to happen. Then become fearful and anxious. And this comes not so much from selfish ambition, but from the fact that I forget the sovereignty of God. I stop living by faith, and I begin living by sight. So I start to ask the questions, will I have enough? How will I survive? What job will I have? Or will I lose the job that I do have? And I can grow impatient. And it steals my peace. These are real questions. Sometimes we don't want to know what work am I at? I have children who are graduating from college. That's a question I ask them. What are you going to do after college? I talked to a young woman yesterday that recently graduated. Now she's going back to school for nursing. She has a wonderful degree. She and I had a long conversation for the future. She has an undergrad degree in political thought, philosophy, and economics. She says, what a great degree. It's not marketable, but it's a great degree. So now she's going to nursing school. And she says, I do need a job. That was fun. It's not job training. Now I need job training. She understands that. The question is whether or not she's anxious about it. And Jesus in Matthew 6 has a long discussion of this. But the issue is, don't be anxious. Why are you anxious about tomorrow? What you will eat, or what you will wear, or what you will drink, or so forth. The fields, how God clothes them. I'm not saying food and drink are not important, they are, just don't be anxious. God knows that you need these things even before you ask them. So Jesus addresses that temptation to anxiety. And the other thing that can disrupt our beliefs, there may be others, I'm only highlighting three today. I've already alluded to it, resentment. We bruise easily, some of us. And we nurse those bruises. Not in a way to see them heal, but we nurture them to kind of keep them alive. And I allow myself to think on the wrongs and insults done to me. They may be real, but they may be imaginable. And as long as I do that, I will not be at peace. In fact, I'll be preoccupied with my hurt feelings. And I'll be preoccupied with a sense of injustice and that I was mistreated. Such things will destroy unity. You can think about that. Think about relationships in which you think you have been mistreated. You'll stop being near that person. At church, you might, oh, there's that person, we'll sit over there, not near that person.
You will be wrong.
fruit of the Spirit is peace. It results not from a good present circumstance, but it results from a present person. The fruit of the Spirit comes from being in relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the source of our peace. Turn to the book of Colossians for a moment. Let me turn to your books to the right. To Colossians chapter 3.
He
He was at peace. Jesus was a man of peace. And by faith that he offers to us the same peace that he himself displayed, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. In Christ, your future is secure. So when tempted to worry or anxiety, never pray. We're afraid. Then you have to memorize Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. A few pages to the right. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. If instead of the peace of Christ, you let anxiety divide in you, learn these verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When anxiety comes to disrupt your peace, pray. Then it goes on. It depends what you think on. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you learn and see and heard and see in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Need to bear the fruits of the Spirit in peace. Pray. Pray. Think on the good and right stuff. Because the peace will come. Let the peace of Christ rule in. See, we've crucified the flesh. In Christ, we have died with him, we've been raised with him. We're seated with him. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's no reason to enter. You've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You believe that? We really believe that. There is no room for envy. Christ is sufficient. And this kind of wisdom, this peaceable wisdom, comes from above. You don't have it. Pray for it. So James says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Well, if you lack this kind of wisdom, ask. Let the peace of Christ rule in you. In Christ, we have been forgiven all our sin. You've been forgiven in Christ. And while sin calls for the wrath of God, it's been poured out on Christ. So that you can freely forgive others as you have been forgiven. As the Father sees you in Christ, so we can see one another in Christ. In Christ by faith. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In Christ we are free from the deeds of the flesh. We no longer have dominion. Rather, walk by the Spirit and we will be at peace. But many days when we aren't there, you have no sense of peace. You're at odds with others, and others are at odds with you. You're at odds with God. You're at odds with yourself. Maybe you're bruised. It's like a piece of fruit that's been handled way too roughly. Genesis 3:15 gave a promise that one would be bruised for us. He would take the bruise that was rightly due us. And he would destroy the evil one and the works of the devil and the works of the flesh. And those things would be put away from us as far as the east is from the west, nailed to the cross. You have never come to Christ to find peace. He says, come. And there is no peace apart from him. Not really. There's a momentary peaceful time, but not lasting. Just come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you peace. We read this morning our family worship before coming here from Isaiah 59. I found the Old Testament expression that matches Galatians chapter 5 almost perfectly. Where Isaiah says this: your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood and your ears with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from one that is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they are stripped to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. And there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Those are the deeds of the flesh. That's your life today. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me for forgiveness. Come to me for peace. Confess your restlessness. Confess the fact that you are at odds with others and with him. And ask him to do his work in you and grant you peace. I'm going to pray a moment. That's what you need to do. Do that as I need to pray. You are not at peace today. Lord our God, how we long for peace. And too often, instead of peace, there's anxiety. There's resentment. There's envy. There are the deeds of the flesh. But we, as Christians, have died with Christ. That stuff has been put away. It no longer has to be. Please teach us, if we purpose today, to walk by the Spirit, to let the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts, to put to death those other things that steal and disrupt our peace. Lord, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who displayed peace, who lived it out, and we pray and ask you, Lord, to fill us anew with your Spirit and grant us that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, perhaps there's some here who have never done that. They have never come to you. And so they are restless. They are not at peace. The way of peace they do not know. Holy Spirit, call them now. And may we respond appropriately. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of how we have disrupted peace. How we have not been peacemakers, but we've gone to war. Forgive us. Today we lay down our lives. Forgive us. Change us. Give us a heart for peace. We might become no longer war makers, but peacemakers. And so be called children of God. Take covenant fellowship, a church of peace. And may the peace that's here spill out into our neighborhood. Into our community, that Wilkinsburg might be a place of peace. For the praise of your